Dwight, it's great to have you today. Nay, a little grace to grow. This, or today, I don't know if it's morning or afternoon when you're listening to this, but for me, it's actually around lunch. I want to read from you out of Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, and I want to talk to you about developing stability in your faith. You know, we've had a lot of people that have professed Christ as their Savior, and they've even walked faithfully for a short while. Boy, it's so sad to see them get uprooted and all of a sudden live lives that have no resemblance of Christianity at all. And there's some reasons for that. Sometimes it may be they're not even saved. But other times I believe that these are genuinely saved people. These people know Christ. They've just been uprooted. And so the basis for stability in our Christian life is a good root system. And so let me read this passage out of Colossians 2, verse 6 and 7. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. It's a powerful passage. I want to zero in on the statement, rooted and built up in him. Okay. So we have some personal responsibility in regards to our faith after Christ has given us grace. The healthier and deeper the roots, the more we will be able to withstand. There are a lot of pressures in this world that have uprooted better Christians than you and I. The pressure to conform to the world, the pressure to lose our temper, the pressure to indulge the flesh and lose our testimony. You know, it's hard to uproot a dandelion. I don't know if you've ever tried to just pull the dandelions out of your yard. You can't get the whole thing. You've got to dig those things out. The reason is that because of the depth of the root. You know you have a good root system in your Christian life when you can abound with thanksgiving, even through the difficult days of life. You know you have a good root system when you can remain faithful to God when those closest to you are leaving the faith. You know you have a good root system when you show up for church, though your flesh wants to sleep in. You know you have a good root system when you can serve the Lord without the recognition of men. You know you have a good root system when your integrity means enough to you that you would rather suffer than lose it. And finally, you know you have a good root system when you've experienced or can experience great heartache, but you can still say as Job, "The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Now, God has given us his word and the means by which to strengthen our root system. And so I want to share just three things I believe will help you to develop stability in your faith. So, one, we must nourish the roots of our faith. The word of God and prayer are vital to the nourishment of our faith. Matthew 4:4 says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Job 23:12, "I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food," said Job. No wonder he had stability. We need fellowship with Christ. John 15:5, Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." Boy, that's a reality for many of us who have lived the Christian life for a while. We need church that we might have fellowship with Christ and other believers. You know, you may have heard the statement, "One week without church makes one weak." And a lot of folks can testify of that. Hebrews 10:25 tells us to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but provoking one another unto love and good works. Now, Matthew 18, verse 20 tells us that Jesus said, "Where there are two or three gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst." So those are some good reasons why we ought to assemble with or fellowship with believers and have a church home. So obviously, number one, we need to nourish the roots of our faith. You know, you and I can put fertilizer on the lawn, and that certainly helps. I've seen a difference in our lawn because of that. But there's another problem, okay? Sometimes fertilizer is not enough. So, number two, we need to protect the roots from the bugs. I've fertilized and watered my lawn at times, and it still turned yellow and died. And I found out later that grubs had eaten the roots. So we need to confess. I mean, we have grubs of sin in our life, of hidden sins that we've not dealt with, secret sins. And so, the scripture tells us, he that confesseth and he that covereth his sins, that's what it says, Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but he that confesseth and forsaketh shall find mercy. Boy, that's so important. 1 John 1:9 tells us that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hebrews 12:1 says, lay aside every weight and the sin that doth so easily beset you. We need to debug our heart. When the Spirit of God reveals sin in our own heart and our life, we need to ask him to forgive us, and we need to forsake it. We need to take action, okay? And so that's very important. We're not helping our faith. We can read the Bible, we can pray, we can go to church, but if we're allowing the bugs to exist, we're going nowhere. We're neutralizing all that good work that the Word of God has done in our heart. And the reality is this: if we're not dealing with those secret sins, it'll hinder our fellowship with Christ. We're not going to be able to get anything out of the Bible anyways. So number three, the third thing is this, and this is important to understand in regards to roots. Roots grow in the dark. They grow in the dark. So, what you do in the dark will make the biggest impact on your roots for good or bad. Many well-known Christians have been uprooted in the faith because they did not nourish nor care for the bugs in their private lives. They eventually fell publicly, and great was the fall thereof. In Matthew 6, and I believe it's verse 6, Jesus said this: but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. I realize human nature likes praise, likes applause. That's not in and of itself bad, but if that's the only motive for us to live the Christian life, we will fail. We're going to fail. It's what we do in the privacy of our own lives. It's what we do when only God is watching that will truly make the difference in our lives and determine the stability in our own hearts. Daniel, one of the great characters in the scripture, we read a couple things about him that really stand out. One, he purposed in his heart that he would not eat the king's meat. He'd made a decision he wasn't going to defile himself long before the temptation came. But he also, we find later on when he would be tested in regards to his faith, he had a practice of praying three times a day. And when there was a law passed that would not legally allow him to pray to his God, it didn't matter. He'd been doing it in secret. And the Father that sees in secret rewarded him in the open. That will always be the case with you, my friend. It doesn't matter what people see or say, it's who you are in the dark that really determines those roots. God bless you. I hope you have a fantastic day. Until we meet again.